We're starting this month off with a brave message because it's not a language that we're used to. Metaphysical. Kind of sticks in your throat. Metaphysical. Oh, beyond physical. And that's what Maggie's talking about. We beyond the physical realm. Aren't you glad there's a place beyond what we are so certain of, beyond the physical? And Jesus, thank you, Jesus, not only teaches on it, but he demonstrates it. You know, as Sandy talked about a couple weeks ago, after his resurrection, he appears to over 500 people. And he says, feed me. I want something to eat, you know? So, I mean, he demonstrates this transition from the natural and the physical to the spiritual, which is available to us. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? I'm glad I'm in a place that celebrates life forever. We have a celebration of life services. We're going to have one next week. Celebration of life services. There's more. There's so much more. And we tend to limit it just because of language. Just because of language. Now, in John, in the book of John, Jesus gives his first metaphysical message. Okay. Oh, and he does it so well. In John 3, it says there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, Nicodemus is a separated one. You know, like Maggie was talking about, he was the only one that could go into this place. He was a priest. He was, holy. And he's the only one that could go. I think there were 70 Sanhedrin or 70 that were separated, and they were kept separated by the law, and it was his name, Nicodemus, meant breakthrough. And here's his opportunity. I'm telling you, this is his opportunity to break through into another place. This is his place of transition. Now, you know, I don't know how well he did. does talk later that, you know, he was there at the burial of Christ. He prepared for the burial of Christ, you know. But, you know, I really don't know well how well he did. You know, did Nicodemus get born again? Oh, we like to use that word. See, we're very comfortable with born again. Oh, you're one of them born agains, aren't you? How many have ever got that? You one of them born agains? Oh, my gosh. What have we done with this term? This wonderful term that means born from above. Oh, you know, I know my encounter. My encounter from being born again. But everybody doesn't have a date and a time like me, okay? I mean, their encounter to be born from above can be a whole lot different than mine. And that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. It doesn't mean it hasn't happened. It's just different. And I think God is able to meet every one of us at that place where we need this encounter to just go to a whole nother level, a whole new understanding. And it says he had a miracle in his life where he prayed and the sun broke through. Talk about that. The sun broke through. And that's what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to break in. He's trying to break through to us, to get to us. And he starts with Nicodemus and he says, hey, Nick. You know, that's what I call him, Nick. You know, I don't know, maybe there's a little more respect back then for an engine, but, you know, in this day, hey, Nick, So this man, he came to Jesus by night. So he had to protect his identity a little bit, you know. He had a high position, and he was afraid to show himself. You know, I know a lot of people like that, who are that way about Jesus. And Jesus doesn't condemn them. He just talks to them. He talks to them. And he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. Ooh. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Mm. See, Jesus just doesn't teach. He demonstrates. And that's what I like about following Jesus. He demonstrates the love. He demonstrates the mercy. He demonstrates the grace. See, that's why I'm a follower of Jesus. You know, I want to follow someone that is going to demonstrate the encounter that they... If they had this encounter with a whole new realm, Nicodemus is talking old covenant. Jesus is talking new covenant. Jesus is talking new covenant. And there's a barrier here with the language from old covenant to new covenant. And sometimes when we say born again, it creates a barrier rather than a breakthrough. Because we're using tribal language that we're very comfortable with. Oh, I'm born again, you know, very comfortable. But somehow, in the world's culture today, they're not as comfortable with it as they were over the years. So we have to change our language. I think we have to change our language. He says to him, and Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above. How many have been born from above? Ooh, you know it. You know it. You sense it. You feel it. Oh, there's more. You celebrate life. You have joy. You have peace in the midst of all the turmoil, all the stuff that's going on. Oh, and there it is, fruit of the Spirit. It says, unless you're born from above, you can't see this kingdom of God. So we're in this transition place where the old is leaving and the new is coming. And Jesus is here to create the breakthrough. And he wants to use Nicodemus, who has a position of influence and power, to help create this breakthrough. Breakthrough into something brand new, something wonderful, something incredible. I think we're in that place still today. We're trying to break people out of the old into the new. And some people like the old language. Judgment, criticism. Their idea of God. Retribution. Hell. They love it. See? They're not comfortable with grace, mercy, peace. They're not comfortable with that. People need to get what they deserve. That's the law. That's the old covenant. That's the old way. So they mix it together. They mix it together. Little, you know, according to their own idea of things. You know, if God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn it, I doubt if he sent you. Thank God, yes. Whew. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again? He's just not getting it because they're talking different languages. Jesus is talking the kingdom of heaven, and he's talking about the law, the temple, all the things that are restricting people from entering in and seeing God, from knowing God. And he said, can you enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So we're talking about birthing now. Something about birthing. How many women remember transition? Something you don't forget. Transition, I've been present for a few. Yeah. I mean, I believe we're in this process right now. still this transition process where we're transitioning. Our whole culture is transitioning. And we're here as doulas. My wife was a doula for many years. To come alongside and help people in this difficult time of transition. I mean, if you don't see it, if you don't, you know, you read about it. Everybody's got an opinion about it. And the first thing to do is run in fear, run and hide in transition. You know, I heard a commentator today is that we're not facing a recession. We're not facing a, you know, we're facing a collapse of the dollar. I can't tell you where my mind went, you know. Oh my gosh, my mind went so many places in fear, I cannot tell you. But see, that's not our message. That's not our message. It may be his message, okay? True or untrue, I have no idea, you know. But when it creates that level of fear in my life, I know it's not God. I just know it. God does not want me to live in that place. Now, that guy doesn't care if I live in that place. He'd like me to live in that place, to be listen to every word he has to say about fear and anxiety and what's next. But I have a better way. I have a better word. I follow a better God. I walk in his spirit, not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love. I need to be trusting God. Well, my goodness, if I don't have any money, how am I going to get, you know, what I need? How am I going to get? I'm going to have to trust God, aren't I? I'm going to have to, how many have ever trusted God? I loved Ron's message last week. Woo! Sharing his life of how he trusted God and how God showed up for him, you know, throughout his whole life. And that's not all the story. He just gave us the good parts, you know. He didn't give us the real difficulty, the real, the hard things, the fear, the anxiety, you know. But his life, he just shared his life with us. And to see how God's power, God's grace, God's mercy was poured out for him in this time. Thank you, Ron. I mean, he demonstrated it. And he walked through it. And Jesus answered, he said, most assuredly, absolutely, without a shadow of doubt, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter this land, this kingdom. He can't go there. The law will hinder him from going there because the law is all about performance. This is about the Spirit of truth. This is about the Spirit. Don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born from above. You must have an encounter with God that's so powerful that it changes your whole perception about things. Now, I've been born again a lot, okay, throughout all the crises of my life, all the difficult. Recently, I was born again. You know, when I went through this issue, who did I get born again? Oh, my goodness. I mean, when you really, then you're looking at death in a whole nother way, eternal life. You're looking at how real is this? How much do I believe this? I mean, it becomes real. It becomes reality to you. It becomes metaphysical. Is there life after death? Is there more than just the physical? I'm facing that transition. And when you come to face that transition, what do you really believe? What do you believe? There is no death. Oh, born from above. Oh, Jesus is not just imparting some revelation. He's imparting the spiritual power of what the Spirit of God will do in your life. That's what he's imparting. doing versus being. See, Nicodemus is talking about doing. Got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this to be holy, and you got to do that to get in, even to get beyond this veil. Jesus is talking about being in love with him, being led by the Spirit, being full of power, being full of grace, being full of mercy. And I'm telling you, at some point, it takes a surrender. It takes a surrender in the physical to enter into the spiritual. All your opinions, all your ideas, all your notions. Oh, it takes a surrender. All your religious trappings, all those things. You have to get to that point and just say, Lord, I give it to y'all. I give it to y'all. I want to be in that place. I want to walk in that place. I want to be a kingdom person. I want to be in the kingdom of his dear son, the place of peace, the place of joy. Oh, I need that place. How many have come to that place? Whew. Oh, my goodness. Come to that place over and over and over again. Because the world of the physical, you know, it just keeps coming at you. Physical things just keep coming at you. The older you get, no matter how much I work out, it just keeps coming at me. You know, no matter how much I walk, no matter how much, I just, my voice is different. My strength is different. I can't do what I used to do. There's more than physical. The older you get, you realize there's more than physical. There's more than what I control. I can't control my kids. Oh, my goodness. I had them under control for so long. Raise up a child and away it'll go, and it'll never depart. I'm believing. We raised them upright, didn't we, Ron? We did. We raised them upright. God's promises, we're still holding on to those promises of God. Oh, my goodness. He says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And no doubt about it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born from above. And, you know, I think most of us in this room have enough discernment to realize what is flesh and what is spirit. I mean, we should by now, shouldn't we? I mean, if it's full of anger, if it's full of frustration, it's full of all that, we understand it's flesh. What is the spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. That's the fruit of the spirit. I mean, you know, it's very easy to discern where stuff is coming from at this age. Even in myself, you know, where's that coming from? Frustration, anger. Now I don't have to stay there because I have a helper. One called along. I'm gonna get better. I'm just gonna get better. That's all there is to it. Yeah, I'm gonna act better and be nicer. You're out, right? Act better and be nicer. Oh, I had a laugh when I was reading this. Like, Jesus can't even explain the Spirit, and I'm going to try. You know, he says right here, the wind blows. He's talking about the Spirit where it wishes. You can't control the Spirit of God. We try to control the Spirit of God. We try to put it in a little box and say, and we give it to people, and this is how it has to happen. This is how it has to go. You know, it's certitude. We are certain that if you do this, you'll get this, you know. And we try to put, but Jesus says, it's like the wind. You can't see it. You can't see it, really. You can't see it. It blows where it wants, where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. How many have heard the wind of the Spirit? Just look into the trees. Oh, it's such a great demonstration of the wind of the Spirit to me. When you hear the wind and look, nature is the first Bible. Right, Gail? Nature is the first Bible. It speaks to us of spiritual things, the wonder of God, the size of God, the immensity of the universe. Oh, and yet we think we're in control. Somehow we control it. Oh, but you can't tell where it goes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit is not about certainty. It's about mystery. We like certitude. I am certain that my way is the only way. We love that. And we can prove it to you. But the Spirit of God is about mystery. How did that happen? Oh, you know, the enemy would love to keep us in the physical and deny the supernatural. Would love to say, it's only physical. It's only physical. And deny the supernatural power of God that I have seen work in every one of your lives. I have seen the Spirit of God demonstrated in every one of your lives. It's amazing, time after time after time. And Jesus says, well, Nick, you should know this stuff. You're a teacher. You're a teacher. Why did Jesus say that? Because in Jeremiah 31, it says, I will make a new covenant, and the laws I will put in people's hearts, not on tablets of stone. Oh, it's prophesied, a new heart, a new spirit. He should know this kind of stuff. Then I will give you one heart. I will put in you a new spirit within you. We like the mixture. A little bit of the old, a little bit of the new, because it's too good to be true. It's almost too good to be true. A God that's this is gracious, this wonderful, this loving, this merciful. Whew. It's way too beyond what we can even ask or think. He says, behold, the day is coming where I make a new covenant to the house of Israel. You should know this, Nick. Yet he doesn't. Look over there in John 14. John 14. I've used this so many times in John 14. One, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Almost every funeral I've ever done, which is hundreds, says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There is room for everybody. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. It's not what you think. It's beyond what you can even ask or think. It's beyond. See, at that point, I'm supposed to bring hope to people who are sitting in grief and trouble. You know, grief is an on-ramp for comfort. It's an on-ramp. Grief is important that we come in grief and then we come into comfort. And Jesus promises that. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember, there are only two. I know we want to see the Ten Commandments everywhere. You know, we get mad when they take them down. But Jesus said there's only two. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, your whole strength. And your neighbor is yourself. And who's your neighbor? Woo. I know mine. I know a number of them. I said love never fails. I didn't say love was easy. People get so mad at me when I say love never fails. Because they think I'm saying love is easy. But love is not easy, folks. We need a helper. We can't love in this culture, in this society, the people we're supposed to love without the Holy Spirit. Without being born from above. If you can't love the unlovely, and there's plenty of them out there, I'm telling you. If you can't love in that level, I'd question your encounter. What kind of God did you encounter? It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you a helper, a paraclete, one to plead, an advocate, to plead your cause, your case, one that cries out for mercy for us. Whew. That's the covenant we're under. We have a God that's crying out for mercy and grace and love. He's crying out. He's not crying out for judgment. That's the old covenant. The Spirit of truth, the comforter, the helper. I will send you a doula to help at this birthing. This birthing. We're birthing something. The world is in transition and it needs you to help. People are confused. People are angry. People are frustrated. They don't need you to be. They need you to be full of power, full of love, full of grace. Oh my gosh, it's so easy. I love doing it. I love it. Oh, it says the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him. The world's all about seeing is believing. They don't believe in the metaphysical. They don't believe there's more than the physical. You know, they're all wrapped up in the physical. They're all wrapped up in the crisis. They're all wrapped up in whatever being fed to them. We need to live beyond that place. That's where the power is. That's where the energy. And like I said, the enemy wants to keep us out of that place. He wants to keep you all stirred up, all angry, all frustrated, all critical, all judgmental. It says the world can't receive him, neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Woo-hoo-hoo. I know him. I know him. Oh, I love that. Oh, I know him. He dwells with you and will be in you. He's smiling out of you. He's smiling out of you. Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of a good outcome. If you don't have that hope, you're no good to anybody. Phew. You only see the negative. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without help. It's better I go away, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and be your helper, and you can understand this metaphysical realm. There's more beyond your backyard. Oh, I love that popping. Because if it's your sleep, it'll keep you awake.
You hit mute on the handheld.
All right, how's that? I will not leave you. Whew. Oh, he looks like he's leaving. Dead, buried, in the grave. He looks like he's leaving. But he's not leaving. He says, I will come to you. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But they will see me because I live in you, and you will live also. Wow, that's so metaphysical, man. Wow, Christ in me, carrying Christ, carrying the message of Christ, carrying the Spirit of Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, those are the fruits of the Spirit. That's what we carry. That's what we carry in every place we go, every store, every restaurant, every classroom, every place we go. I went to Grandparents' Day in Aurora last week. I carried the presence of Christ. Carried it right in there. They didn't stop me at the door. We had to go, you know, I mean, it's like, hey, you got Christ on you? Yeah, no, you're not on it. It was metaphysical. Thank God it is. They can't keep them out of anything. Whew. You're a carrier. of Christ. Oh, I live, and you will live also. Holy everlasting. I love that term. Holy everlasting. That's what we got to look forward to, is holy everlasting. Oh, I want to end in 2 Corinthians. I had to get to this. I was so impressed with this when Sandy preached it a couple weeks ago. Oh, my goodness. I said, we can't let this go by. There is no way we can just do this one week and let's just say, oh, we heard that, been there, done that. Oh, my gosh, it's right here in 2 Corinthians. It says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Not judgment. The Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. Whew. What is God? All comfort. What is God? All love. What is God? All light. No darkness in him at all. Whew. That's new covenant, folks. We have transitioned into that realm. Aren't you glad? I am so glad. I haven't got one foot over here and one foot over here. I'm over here. All love, all comfort, all grace, all peace. That's what the realm we're in right now. It says, who comforts us in all our tribulations. What should we expect in tribulations? Comfort. I've watched it happen in you guys time and time again. You've gone through some tough stuff. We all know that. We don't keep it a secret. We all know what we've been through. But like I said, grief is an on-ramp for comfort. It's just an on-ramp for comfort. What can we expect at the end of it? Comfort. Comfort. Who comforts us in all our tribulations, that what? We may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. Wow. We're comforters. We're the ones that carry comfort. Because Christ is in us. The Spirit of God is in us. The Holy Spirit of comfort is in us. Who comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort. This is so huge. I should have underlined every comfort in here, you know. I did in my Bible. Who is able to comfort those that are in trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Comfort, 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 comfort. What can we expect in this tribulation period? Comfort. That's what I'm looking forward to, is comfort. For as the sufferers of Christ abound in us, sufferings of Christ, so our consolation, another form of comfort, consolation also abounds in Christ. It overtakes all the discomfort, all the grief, all the fear, all the anger. It's bigger than all of it. His comfort is bigger, bigger than all of it. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings. We share in the same comfort, folks. We have shared in the same comfort. And it's a joy to watch God's Holy Spirit come upon you and change your life. It's such a joy, because I know what you've been through. I know the anguish, I know the pain, I know all this stuff, and that's what you get in church. You know people, you know this stuff, but you see God changing them for the good, bringing that, what they need. But it's not only that. I see people out in the world who would say, I don't even know God, and I see the comfort come upon them. I see them survive through tribulation, never giving any credit to God. Just think, wow, I made it. No, it's God, folks. It's amazing me to watch. It's amazing me to watch that they survived through the trauma that they survived without giving God the glory. But that's how gracious he is. Oh, that's how gracious. He's not looking for it. He just gives it. That's the time we're in. That's the covenant we're under. It's all on him. He pours it out. That's all he just wants to pour out on us. He says, or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort and salvation. It's coming. Salvation is coming to them. Oh, they're going to look back, or I'm going to remind them. I'm going to say, you know what you just went through? It was God. There's no God. Oh, yeah, that's God. That's God. I see God. I see God all over the place. And our hope is for you is steadfast. My hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you are partakers of the comfort. Wow. Did you count how many times comfort's in there? We serve a God of all comfort. Isn't that comforting? That is so comforting. That's amazing. God did not send Jesus to the world to condemn the world. He just didn't. He sent Jesus to save the world. You think he can do it? Yeah, I think he can. I think he's able. I mean, he's done all that he's promised to do in our lives. And I think he's able. Let's just bow our heads for a minute. You know, I really sense that when I was putting this together, there are people that have inordinate fear in their life. Number one, of death. Been there. Been there. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to come. He's the helper. People still try to do it on their own. They try to do it without the help of God. I watch that in my kids all the time. Struggling. Did you pray? No. Did you ask God to help you? No. He's right there. He's right there. Just close your eyes. He's in you. He's near you. Ask him to help. Ask him to help you get through this. Get through this time. Fear of death. I think it's probably one of, the number one fear. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside and help you with that fear. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. We need to understand his love is so wide, so deep, so broad, more than we can even imagine. Ask or think, Paul says, that he could take that fear away from you. There's people who are afraid of financial fear. You know, I've been through it so many times, you'd think I wouldn't be afraid anymore. But I still get nervous. Holy Spirit, come alongside and help me. Help me not be frustrated or fearful. Some people are angry. Things didn't turn out the way they expected them to come out, so they're angry. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside and be your advocate, be your helper. You know, we're celebrating the Feast of Pentecost this month, and Sandy's going to help us see the Spirit. As Jesus promised, I'm going to send you a helper. How many need help today? Thank you. Thank you. Why don't you just tell God right now what you need help with? Maybe you need help loving people. Maybe you need help loving the unlovely. Let him fill you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the metaphysical realm. that there's life beyond this physical realm that is constantly working on us. We ask you to come alongside and help us step out of that physical realm into the supernatural realm where all things are possible. All things are possible. I don't care how the situation looks, how messed up it looks, all things are possible. So fill us, Lord. Fill us with the spirit of love, the spirit of grace. You've already poured out peace upon us during worship. We just want to carry it beyond these walls, Lord. We just don't want to walk out the door and, you know, get right in the physical. We're spiritual beings, so we want to carry it out the doors, into the streets, throughout the nation, into the world, wherever we're going. Oh, we thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you so much. So, of course, we have coffee and bagels in the back, if you would like to join us for that. Next week, we will continue the series Metaphysical with the message I'm calling Hidden Figure. And it's Mother's Day, so I hope you can either have your mom with you in heart or in physical presence. It would be great. And have a great week. Love you guys.